Lashana Tova, Tikatevu, meaning may you be inscribed for a good year. And if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, then you are in the book of life, and every year is a good year when you know where you're going, right? Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. So get your pen, your Bible, and a piece of paper, and get ready to take some notes and enjoy the next hour of learning from God's Word, especially on eschatology, the end times. Let's open with prayer and ask Abba Father to hear us. And we want to thank you, Abba Father, for this opportunity again to be on the radio, to encourage, to teach, and to bless your body. I want to lift up, especially this morning, finances of our listeners. If they're financial, the ones of our listeners and supporters are going through financial troubles, and we just ask you that you would encourage them to hang on in these tough times. And some of our listeners and supporters are going through trials, Lord. We just ask you to be with them and comfort them in with your Spirit. Be with them right as they're going through. And you know what? A lot of times we go through these things, sometimes we don't think you're there, but you are even closer to us when we go through these things. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this day, for this Shabbat, the Shabbat of solemn rest, in the name of Yeshua, our Savior.
Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom to you too, John, and on this very, very special day of atonement.
The Day of Atonement.
We have just concluded the Days of Awe, which I explained last week is a type of the tribulation period when repentance will be of the utmost importance to those who are left behind. And for those who do not make Jesus Lord over their life, they'll definitely not be in the book of life.
Sad. Yeah. That's sad. Yes.
But today is Yom Kippur, and in Jewish tradition, Yom Kippur, or Day of the Covering, Kippur is like covering, is the day on which God assesses the deeds of each person and decides their fate for the coming year. Now, that's what they believe, and that's why it's so important that they repent before the close of Yom Kippur, or what they have called Milah, which means the gates will be closed.
The gates will be closed.
Too late by then. But I look at it even in a more deeper concept. I'm looking at it as the day, the probable day, and I'm almost pretty sure, 99%, when all those on the earth at the end of the tribulation, in Revelation 19, Matthew 24, they will see him as he is. When he returns to earth, face to face, and we're going to be with him.
Wow.
Thus, keeping the sixth appointment out of seven that God made with man way back in Leviticus 23.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And today is the holiest day of the year because the Jews believe their name would not be inscribed in the book of life if they had not repented of their sins, as well as any unforgiveness in their heart by the Day of Atonement or by Yom Kippur. And just a reminder, all these teachings are archived on our webpage with labeling, so you can go glean a wealth of information at your convenience.
Yes, and as I've been saying for the last few weeks, I did teach in detail about the special season last year, but maybe a little bit different. So I think it's important that you get both shows, and in that way you'll have a lot of information. And so, again, I encourage you to go and listen to them.
Yes, please do. And you can also read the very timely newsletters. They don't seem to go out of date. I have a collection of them from years ago, and all the information is still pertinent. So Sheila tells me she wants to get in as much teaching as she can because next week is our last scheduled time on the air. Sorry. But check our webpage, and we might be doing a special show from time to time as your support comes in, or we find a couple of advertisers.
That's right.
Yeah.
And as well, be sure to check our web because I did get a call from Trinity Broadcasting Network last week who want to talk with me, possibly even next week. That's not decided yet, but they are interested after listening to a radio broadcast, thanks to a tip from a listener who called them about this program. So please, listeners, pray about that. And if you could, send me an email or a quick, like, two-sentence note in the regular snail mail about why you like this program so I can use them as references. I need your help with that.
Oh, please do. And just email them to Sheila, that's S-H-E-I-L-A, Sheila at showfarmministries.net, or mail to Box 513, Burton, 44021. Now, we will be opening the phone lines later in this hour for your questions on this topic and times in general.
And since we forgot to give out the numbers last week, I'm going to give it to you right now.
Maybe we should, yes.
Yeah, 1-888-677-WORD. That's 1-888-677-WORD.
Sorry about that last week. Oh, by the way, Sheila, let's remind our listeners, we meet for Shofar Assembly on the 2nd and 4th Saturdays of the month. And you can come out where you'll always hear a great teaching.
Well, thank you. And again, since we're not going to be on the radio, you might want to consider, you know, packing up the car. And no, it's not really that far.
It's like not that far. 40 minutes. We are from Independence, where we're broadcasting from.
Mm-hmm.
40 minutes.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
It's not bad.
And we have people that come from, very far.
Very far.
Is it Elyria?
Elyria area. Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, with the freeways now, it's not
sure.
So bad.
But remember, that's not tonight. It's the 2nd and 4th Saturday, so that'll be next Saturday, September 25th. And if you need directions, just call me, 440-834-9006. That's 834-9006. We meet in Burton at around 6:30. And, of course, we have Messianic worship by the one and only John Bartlett, which, by the way, did you make any New Year's resolution this year?
Yes, I did. It's the same as last year. I want to get closer to the Lord, get closer to Jesus.
Yes, me too.
And I want to actually not only study his word more, but actually do his word more.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Amen.
My goal.
Amen.
More witnessing, too. Now, before we talk about common nicknames of Yom Kippur, or nicknames, or as you call them, idioms, or synonyms, or figures of speech,
yeah.
Before we get to that, let's talk about the news. I know you have some important things happening.
I don't like to take up a lot of time with that because you can all listen to it yourself. But I do want to make a comment that even though this Imam Raoul, do you remember me talking about last week how he warned of problems if the mosque can't be built at Ground Zero?
Yeah, that was kind of a threat, wasn't it?
It definitely, I think. Well, I understand, and I don't know, I haven't heard in a couple of days, but I understand it's not going to be built.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Interesting.
Keep on top of that, but that was the last I heard. The other thing is last week, Tuesday and Wednesday, the Israeli and Palestinian meeting was held again. Okay, they had it 2 weeks prior, as you know, in Washington, but they held it last week, and I think that was in Cairo.
Was it in Cairo?
I think so, but anyway. Their only comment is that, well, it made progress. So that's about all we know. But the other thing is there was another meeting then on Thursday between George Mitchell and Syria for the possible revival of Syrian-Israeli peace talks. So I have a feeling that Tuesday and Wednesday they might have talked about this for him to go on Thursday then to talk to Syria, because Israel must have proposed or went along with a withdrawal from much of the Golan.
The Golan Heights, yes.
And if anybody knows my teaching, you know that I've said for years that Israel will give Syria the Golan Heights, also called the Ancient Heights.
Well, how do you know that? I mean, I've heard you say that, but I forget why.
How do you think I know that?
How do you know that?
Let's try Ezekiel 36, verse 2, which I'll read real quick for you. It says, "And thus says the Lord God, because..." He's talking to Israel. "Because the enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession."
Ooh.
"So therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side," which they're doing, "so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations." That's the international community, the UN, blah, blah, blah. "And you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by the people."
No,
it is prophesied Israel will be taken up.
What was missing from that passage?
I'm sorry, what?
What was missing from that passage? Something that we hear in a lot of prophecy.
In that day.
That's not in there.
Not there.
So what? That could mean this could happen soon.
It could happen at any time.
And it could happen.
And you know
maybe
what?
Next week.
My interpretation of Ezekiel is that it goes pretty consecutively. You know, okay. Which is why the temple's at the end.
It does. Kingdom. It does follow an
pretty
order.
Much, pretty much. Yeah. And we're in chapter 36 here, and that's getting ready to happen. And 38 is the War of Gog and Magog, which happens, I know, in that day.
Yes.
So how close can we be?
We must be very close.
Oh, very close. Oh, very close.
Wow.
All right. Where are we?
We're right here in the studio.
Yes. Something else. Again, I said last week that Israel was negotiating with the wrong faction, as well as we are also.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Hamas and Hezbollah, which is backed by Syria and Iran, that are the main culprits. So now we do see an Israeli condition for negotiating the Golan as a pact of severance of the Assad's regime strategic and military ties with Iran.
Now, Assad is the...
he's the leader of Syria.
Of Syria, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he has military ties, of course, with Iran. I mean, Iran really pays Syria a lot of money. So they're pretty tight. But as part of this negotiation, it appears to be that if Israel gives them the Golan Heights, which is what they want because it butts up to Syria, mm-hmm. you know, and it's strategically profitable.
Yes.
So if they give up the Golan Heights, Assad has to agree to terminate its backing from Iran and to stop Hezbollah and Hamas from causing any problems, and any other terrorist organizations enjoying Syrian sanctuary, which there are a lot.
Well, it sounds like, of course, now we're behind that. Our government is behind these talks and these problems.
Our government is behind anything that gives away Israeli land.
Gives away Israeli land, which makes me worry about the repercussions that'll happen. And also, why...
From God.
From God. And why are they negotiating with the Fatah party, which you know... they have no power. Abbas has
not
no
much.
Power.
That much.
Is that just for show?
It's for show.
It's for show.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And Israel knows that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say we've got to do something so Syria will stop Hamas and Hezbollah, or this isn't going to work. So I think that, you know, I say we because I think I'm part of Israel. I love it so much. But I believe Netanyahu probably thought about that and mentioned it, because there's no other way really to stop those factions in Syria from doing anything.
Okay, so
they want the Golan really bad.
So when we hear that they're negotiating with Abbas and the Fatah Palestinian, we know that they're really negotiating with Hezbollah.
Yeah, I think it's the whole package.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's exactly what the Bible calls for. And I just read you in Ezekiel how they're going to give it away. So
and
we know it's going to go.
Yeah, and when they get it, the enemy's going to go, aha,
uh-huh.
They're going to be laughing, you know.
But it's all part of God's plan.
It is.
You know, and thank goodness that we can trust God. And our main concern is not to worry about what's going to be happening.
Right.
But to tell others that we're that close.
Yeah. And that's a good motivation.
It is.
It is.
You know, a lot of times people, and it just breaks my heart, that they don't want to hear about prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just say, oh, it's too confusing, so whatever happens, happens, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? If you don't think Jesus can come back at any moment, you're not going to be out there witnessing. And if you're not in God's Word, you really don't care.
And if you're not in God's Word, you won't be witnessing with intelligence.
Because you won't have the wisdom.
You know, you got to have that wisdom, and we have to have that. This is, my people are dumb because mm-hmm. of lack of knowledge. Okay, dumb.
Says.
Dumb meaning they're unable to speak.
The word in English, they say, my people perish. That is so... That'll throw you off.
That's a bad translation.
You've got to look it up. And that's why studying is so important.
Yes.
Every single verse that you read in the Bible
mm-hmm.
should not be read without looking up at least one word. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will tell you what word to look up.
There you go.
He does. At least he does for me.
We see it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to thank you right now because he is leading us. He's leading you. When you're studying your Bible, he's there.
Mm-hmm. He is a real teacher.
Yes.
But we have to be willing.
That's
right. It's our choice.
It's our choice.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, one more thing. In an historically unprecedented development, a famous Turkish Muslim moderate leader and a prominent group of Israeli rabbis have joined together on one of their declared goals. And that goal, this is going to get excited, is to rebuild the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Now, his name is Ed... Adnan, how do you say that? So, Adnan?
Adnan Akhtar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Muslim.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Moderate Muslim.
Moderate, yes.
He is a controversial but highly influential Muslim. He's an intellectual and an author. He has over 65 million of his books in circulation.
Wow.
Not books, but over 65 million people read his books. And Akhtar recently, I think last year, met with three representatives from the reestablished Jewish Sanhedrin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A group of 71 Orthodox rabbis and scholars from Israel who discuss how religious Muslims, Jews, and Christians can work together.
That sounds suspiciously a lot like it could be a one-world religion they're kind of going for here.
Yes, and mm-hmm. we know the Bible says that's going to happen. So how exciting is that when you see this, all these scriptures and all these prophecies coming together in our lifetime? We have been born for such a time as this.
I know. This is exciting. And by the way, the phone numbers again, we're feeling guilty about last week. Phone numbers again are 888-877-WORD. Okay? I just had to throw that in there.
All right. Let's get right into Leviticus 23:2.
Okay.
Again, and I've said this before, but it bears repeating, and I am so excited because the last time I spoke out in Menor, one of the girls came up to me and she said, "You know, you've been coming out here for 10 years, and I think I finally got it."
And we're not laughing at her because
it takes
time for this to sink in because, let's face it, you get programmed. If you've been sitting on Sundays listening to a sermon for years and years in your life, this is just all new, and it doesn't seep in.
Right. But the scripture says, "Speak to the children of Israel." Now, I'm in Leviticus 23:2.
Mm-hmm.
"And say to them, the feast of the Lord," and again, that word feast is moed, it means appointment. "The appointment of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations." The word there is mikra, which means
rehearsal or gathering. Mm-hmm.
"These are my appointments."
These are God's appointments.
Yeah.
Yes, these are my feasts.
That's right. And I always want to point that out so that you will see they're not just Jewish feasts. Can people mm-hmm. say to me, "You know, we're in the New Testament. What are you still teaching Jewish feasts for?" And I go, they're not Jewish feasts. They're God's feasts. They're appointments that he made with man, and he's keeping them.
And by teaching them, we're teaching prophecy, and the spirit of prophecy is
Jesus.
Now,
remember, God organized these detailed Jewish requirements and customs, and he used particular phrases. He knew that they would achieve certain phrases for these holidays and special appointments. And then Jesus would use them when he came, and it would give us huge clues, as well as Paul, so that we can learn is how it will be with us.
Yes. They use the figures of speech of the day, right? And now, just to answer those that say that, why are we studying these feasts, in Romans 15, Paul writes that the things written before,
in the Old Testament,
is for our learning today.
I know. And mm-hmm. so many people tell me they don't read the Old Testament because it's passé, and I go, no.
No. It's very, very prophetic.
Yes.
Very. As a matter of fact, that's how those that were expecting Jesus the first time, and there were a few, that's how they knew he was coming, because they studied the prophecy.
They studied the prophets,
especially Daniel.
Yes, they were looking for a Messiah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, jumping ahead to verse 32, this is the one particularly about Yom Kippur.
Okay.
And it says, "It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest," and all this means is like it's a holy day. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a Saturday, although sometimes it is, as today.
It falls on a Sabbath today for some reason.
"And you shall afflict your souls," which the Jewish people interpret as fasting,
mm-hmm.
"on the ninth day of the month at evening," from evening mm-hmm. into evening, because that's when a day is, "you shall celebrate your Sabbath," or celebrate Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And celebrate doesn't mean hoopla.
Not in this case, no.
It just means to adhere to and pay attention to what he says. And the main thing is the fasting. Well, it's not the main thing. It's one of the things. And we're going to talk about
it. It does. And fasting, as you know, if you've ever fasted, does get you thinking more spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bad fast because it's like no water and no food.
Well, that's what they say, although I think they do drink. Well, maybe the Orthodox don't drink water, but most people do anymore.
Yes, I've tried it once, and I'll tell you, it's not fun.
Yeah.
But you do get a lot of revelation when you read God's Word during this time. So. Anyway,
that depends. I don't know about
that. Okay. But back to what we were going to talk about.
Go on. Thank God we have Jesus, though.
That's right.
All these feasts are spiritually fulfilled in us.
That's right.
Amen.
Now we're going to talk about some common phrases or idioms or figures of speech for Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Okay,
and I guess the first one is the fast.
The fast.
You know,
the day of the
fast. They were talking. Say it was in April, and they were talking about, oh yeah, well, when the fast comes, blah blah blah.
Yeah, it is the fast.
They would know what they were doing.
Exactly, the fast.
Yeah, it's the only one that God made mandatory in the Bible.
Yes.
Now they have other fasts, but none of them were mandatory.
Mandatory,
like this.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And of course, the other obvious.
What I just said.
Is Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that in a minute too.
Okay.
And also, it's called Nilah, which is because the gates are opened on Rosh Hashanah so that the righteous which keep the truth may enter in.
Mm-hmm.
But the gates are closed, according to Jewish tradition here, on Yom Kippur.
The final hour, or the very end of Yom Kippur, which would be sunset.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if they still have aught against their neighbor or they have unrepentant sin, God would not inscribe their name in the book of life.
So there was a very real possibility that might be something bad happen to you in the
right.
coming year.
I mean, that's what they were really concerned about.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, from what the little stories that I've read, you know, I don't know that many didn't make sure that they were right with God because they really did believe this.
Hmm.
So. All right, so anyway.
We have time to go with the Nila, a little more explanation on
sure,
that.
Sure, go ahead.
I don't have Isaiah 26, but that's, I think, where we find that. So I don't have it up, so I'm not going to go flipping my pages for it, but it is Isaiah 26.
Yeah, it's a great chapter, and I do want to get back to that, but let's finish a little bit here, and then we'll go back to that, because
okay.
I'm afraid of running out of time.
We need another common phrase here. Got
yeah.
another one?
But the thing about it is, and the gates are closed, and it's called Nila.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I believe Jesus will come through the clouds and every eye will see him at Nila.
Ooh.
Because then it'll be too late.
It'll be too late.
That's right.
Because he's coming to judge at this point.
Those that have not received him
yes.
as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, Nila is an important word, but we'll get back to that. But let's talk about the face-to-face one.
Okay, that's the next one.
Face-to-face.
That is
so exciting.
Sounds familiar.
That's right. So let's look at... Well, I'll just mention in Exodus 33:11, actually God said, I speak to, Numbers 12:8. God says, I speak to Moses face to face. Now, it wasn't actual face to face because nobody can see God and live, but he talked to him. Maybe he had his back to him, as it says in one of the scriptures.
But he did. He
but
talked to him. It was a term.
And it was called face to
face. Face to face. And Moses being the first one to initiate Day of Atonement, I believe, right?
Yes. Absolutely, because according to the Jewish tradition, again, we can figure it out from Pentecost when they were at the mountain, and then he went up 40 days, and he came back, and they were doing the calf instant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Instant. And he said, wow, he said, you really messed up. He stayed with them for a while and then said, you know what, I'm going to have to go and make atonement
for
you.
He said he would make atonement.
Right, and you can read that in Exodus 33. So when he came down... According to the Jewish tradition and their studies, they believe it was on Yom Kippur when he came down and he said he made atonement for them.
Hmm.
And that makes sense because...
Yes. Would it be taking it too far to maybe assume that the Day of Atonement was the day that the Lord in the Garden of Eden took the animal skins and clothed Adam and Eve after they had sinned?
That makes perfect sense to me. And see, we can't figure it out
for sure.
But once you get to understand God and you understand the way he does things,
mm-hmm.
not that we only have 1% of that actually ever, but it would have to be.
It wouldn't surprise me.
it
wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, okay. So now what we want to do is talk about Paul, because Paul gives us a few clues in the New Testament about his return, the one of them being that the rapture will occur on the last trumpet, and we've talked about that in the past, being an idiom for Rosh Hashanah. So now he says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I think he's talking about the second coming,
mm-hmm.
okay, and it'll be on a Yom Kippur, which makes sense. It fits the puzzle.
Yes.
It fits the timeline. Let's go over it real quick, John.
Okay.
If the rapture is on a Rosh Hashanah, and that Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, so I don't know which day or hour.
Okay.
Get that pretty plain. Okay?
Right. We've made that clear before.
Yes, I have. So if the rapture is on a Rosh Hashanah, which, by the way, that is the next appointment to be fulfilled.
Right.
He's fulfilled the first four.
Literally.
This is, yeah.
Yeah, by,
this is,
I mean, or fulfilled by Yeshua.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then 10 days later, which would give them enough time to sit down and sign that agreement with the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
that would be on a Yom Kippur.
Yes.
Now, that's not the fulfillment, of course, but whatever day the tribulation begins, which but we know will begin on the moment that that agreement is signed.
Okay.
Then, if you count 7 biblical years later, whatever day it starts is the day that it will end.
So it's naturally going to end on a
Yom Kippur. Right.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes through the clouds at the end, all eyes will see him face to face.
Face to face.
It just fits. And again, I'm just giving everybody a quick summary of all this, you know, the teachings, you know.
Many more scriptures that we could use here that back this up. But again, these are all archived on our website.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Lots of stuff on the website.
Yes.
All the radio shows and all my newsletters, which I talk about this. I mean, you can print them out. Give them
yes.
to your friends. To take advantage of it. And it's free.
It's free. Now we have another idiom for Yom Kippur, and that would be what?
Well, which one do you want to use next?
Isn't it called Day of Judgment?
It is.
And,
well, sure, because when he comes back, what's he going to do?
He's going to judge the earth.
Separate.
It says that in the Psalms. It says that in the... it's a theme. It's a theme throughout all Scripture, including the New Testament, where you see the separation of the sheep from the goats.
Matthew 24.
Matthew 24, right.
Or it might be the beginning of 25, somewhere in there.
Yes.
But I also want to point out that this is the only day that Israel's high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies on a Yom Kippur.
Hmm.
Okay, and of course then it was deemed that he would see God face to
face.
Face
to face.
Although he didn't.
Yes.
You know, as close as anybody can.
Oh, yeah, that
okay,
is
and
right.
Jesus is our high priest.
Right.
Amen.
Wow.
So yeah, Day of Judgment, Day of Redemption for the sheep.
Yeah, it's for the goats, it's a Day of Judgment. For the sheep, it's a Day
of Redemption.
Of Redemption.
And the Great Shofar. Now, again, we've talked about the different trumpets, sounds.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the first shofar, the last shofar, and now the great shofar. The great shofar is an expression for Yom Kippur. It's only blown on Yom Kippur. Mostly it began just during the Jubilee because it would be giving them total debt-free things.
Yes.
You know, they could go debt-free and stuff. So naturally that was a Jubilee. But they never really, from what I understand, celebrated the Jubilee, at least not in the scriptures that we can see. But when Jesus comes back on Yom Kippur, it will definitely be a jubilee because he will set up his millennial kingdom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, that great shofar will definitely be blown.
Wow. And let's see, Leviticus 16, verse 21, it says, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the... Aaron's the high priest, remember that. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, okay, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. So that's what they did with the goats.
That's
the goats
right.
On Yom Kippur.
That's right. According to the Mishnah, by the way, which is written actually about 200 A.D., okay, and this was a commentary on the Torah. It said that a red sash was tied to this goat called the Azazel,
mm-hmm.
and led out to the wilderness, where the sash was then placed on a nearby rock. And after the goat was pushed over the cliff, the red sash would turn white, showing their sins were covered.
Mm-hmm.
They would then wave it as they ran back to the temple and tied it to the front door of the temple.
Okay.
The Mishnah also states around 40 years before the destruction of the temple, which would be about the time that Jesus died,
mm-hmm.
the sash stopped turning
white. So you subtract 40 from, we know the temple was
70 A.D.
was destroyed in 70 A.D. You subtract 40 years, you get 30 years.
Yeah.
Approximately. And that was when Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, was executed on the cross, mm-hmm. and he made atonement with his own blood.
Right.
It says in Hebrews, in the temple in heaven, and once and for all, you know, one time for all. So there was no need, actually, for that sash or that
right.
or that string.
They didn't need any of those sacrificial things anymore at all.
Yeah, there was no need for that, right?
That's right. Although they felt that they were putting the sins on the sort of the devil goat.
Well, yeah, the devil goat.
Because he's the picture of sin.
If I could, real quick, I just learned this about the Azazel. The word in Hebrew actually has the word El, which means great or mighty or God, and it also contains the word Az, which is strength. And we're talking about mighty God, mighty strength, and Jesus was the only one that could bear our sins because he is God, and mm-hmm. He's mighty, and he had the strength to bear our sins.
That's right.
That teaching really blessed me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, you know what, John? Since we only have a couple more weeks in on the radio, I would love to get your song in again because it's so wonderful and people love it so much.
Aren't you nice?
Yeah. So let's just take a quick break and we'll gather our thoughts, and when we come back, maybe we'll go over that Isaiah 26 thing, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Okay, we're back. The lines are now open. You have a question, particularly on end times eschatology. That's 888-677-WORD. That's 677-9673. And we cover a great big area on this radio station. We'd like both of, and if you would like both of us to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a great message, tell your pastor. Ask him to give us a call, 440-834-9006. And any and all your donations are, extremely important.
Still.
And vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. We're kind of unique.
Mm-hmm.
So please consider being a seed partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. And all donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. And you know that's full of gold nuggets and current events of the last days here and in Israel, too. So check out the webpage and where you'll find our newsletters and previous radio shows are all archived there. And live DVD teachings are also available. Okay.
Thank you, John. And, you know, we do have a couple callers, and we want to get to them.
Yes, we have.
So the first one is Kevin in Eastlake. Kevin, you're on the air.
Hello.
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 My question for you is, Rosh Hashanah, I believe it's Rosh Hashanah, I could be mistaken, but that was when Judas Maccabeus purified the temple after it was profaned by Epiphanius?
No, you're talking about Hanukkah.
Or is that Hanukkah? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Hanukkah.
Well, my question to you is that's in Maccabeus, which is an apocryphal book to the Protestants,
mm-hmm.
yet the Jews are celebrating it.
Mm-hmm.
My question is why do you think that that's not in the canon if it's celebrated by the Jews and obviously is part of their...
Well, actually, I like the canon. It's just more of a history book. There's just some things in there that I believe are not ordained by God. But it's all good history books, like Josephus. I learn a lot from that. The other thing is Jesus
Do you think it's not ordained by God when Judas Maccabeus prayed for the dead?
Correct.
But why would, if Judas Maccabeus is a man of God, why would you think that that's wrong?
I would have to study that, and I would have to see what it says, but...
See, because I believe you're making a mistake in thinking, see, when I die, I can't do anything to change what I did, but that doesn't mean people can't pray for me for mercy from God. I can't do anything to change it.
Back when the Maccabees were written, that was the Sheol is where the souls went, and Jewish souls went to Sheol. And that's what they believed at the time. But
is the New Testament says that absent from the body is present with the Lord if you're saved, okay? And judgment happens immediately. And that's what I believe, okay? And that's just what I have to go along with. And by the way, as far as Hanukkah goes, Jesus in, I believe it's John chapter 10, mm-hmm. talked about going up to the temple during the feast of dedication, which was in the winter, which, of course, we know is Hanukkah. But I appreciate your question, Kevin, and thank you for calling. We have another caller. It's Maria.
Maria,
you're on the line.
Oh, hi. My question isn't about the holidays. My question is about Ezekiel 30, 37, and 38,
mm-hmm.
and maybe 39. And I noticed that, like, the United States is not mentioned.
Right.
I don't see the United States at all.
Right.
But I see Russia. I see Persia. Egypt and, you know, the nations that are listed. And is it possible what Obama is doing with reducing our nuclear and this new treaty with Russia, is that putting us in a place where at some point Russia will just take us out?
You know what? You should be on the show. Because that's exactly what I think, and
Marie,
that's what I said.
Yes.
You're getting
it.
Yes,
you're getting
yeah,
it.
Absolutely. You know, we're a new country.
Saw that.
Yeah, we're a new country, actually, anyway. And I think we were here to be certainly missionaries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We go out and we tell mm-hmm. the people about Jesus Christ. And I think our time is coming to a close. And once the rapture happens, then there won't be any righteous here at that time. So
right.
I believe that God will probably allow that to happen, and the United States will probably be gone soon after the rapture.
It seems to be moving in that direction fast.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
And my other question is about, you know how the scriptures talk about all of the Jews returning to the land?
Mm-hmm.
And
Aliyah.
That's another question. The Jews in the United States seem to be too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like something cataclysmic would have to happen.
Yes.
Or,
again, you belong on this show. Where are you from, Maria? What city are you from?
I live in Euclid.
Oh, okay.
But I love the books of Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelations, and just end-time prophecy has always been fascinating to me.
Well, I wish that everybody felt that way, because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and if we don't at least try to understand it, then we're not getting as much Jesus as we could.
Amen.
Amen, but I think you're right on and everything that you said, and what you might want to do is pay attention, because Isaiah 26 is really good, and we're going to try to get into that after we do Joel 2, so you might want to listen to that.
Okay, I sure will.
Okay, hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you. God bless the both of you.
Thank you.
Send
me an email. Let me know how you like the program.
Okay, I sure will.
Okay, thanks, Maria. Okay, let's talk about Joel 2. We still have a few minutes left.
Yes.
And it's in verse 15. Okay, first of all, by the way, Joel chapter 2 is almost like Isaiah 26, because it start off again blowing the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm, and for the day of the Lord is coming or is at hand at that point. And that's the beginning of the tribulation.
The day of the Lord.
Now we get to verse 15, and I believe this is describing the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast. What does that tell us?
That it's Yom Kippur?
Yeah,
yes,
it's a fast.
It's
the
fast.
Only mandatory fast day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Call a sacred assembly, and of course, that's what they were to do, call a sacred.
Sacred or solemn, my translation says solemn, and that is a solemn assembly. It's not a happy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Gather the people. Well, it will be happy when Jesus returns, but that'll be at the end anyway. Okay. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. This is all Yom Kippur talk. Gather the children, the nursing babies. Now, here's the cool. This is really nice. Let the bridegroom. Who is that, do you think?
The bridegroom, that must be our Savior, Yeshua.
Go out from his chamber. Now, the Hebrew word is hadar, and hadar is the word for a wedding chamber.
Mm.
It was that place that they got ready when he would go and propose to his bride, and then he would go prepare the place.
He said, I'll go to prepare a place for you. Mm-hmm. He's preparing a hadar.
Right now. So when we go up there at the rapture, we are going to go in that hadar. For a period of 7, which was a mandatory complete time. It could be 7 days, 7 months, 7 weeks, whatever, but it had to be 7. And in our case, it'll be 7 years.
Remember Jacob? He had to fulfill that with Leah. He thought he was going to marry Rachel.
Right away. But he
said, no, you have to fulfill your 7.
Right.
With
because
Leah.
If it wasn't fulfilled, marriage wasn't, it was null and void, basically.
Right.
Yeah, so see, that's another thing. God did that on purpose so that we could learn from it.
And like Paul says, the things that were written before are for our learning
today. So it says in verse 16, let the bridegroom go out from his hadar and the bride from her huppah, which is the other thing that a marriage would always occur underneath, a huppah, and it would be moved into the hadar.
And it still is. All Jewish marriages are performed under the huppah. So.
That's right. Or dressing room, if your English translation says that. But the word is huppah.
Yes.
And it says, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Well, this is the day, only day that they wept was on Yom Kippur.
Was on Yom Kippur, and you can find that right in the High Holy Day books, the prayer books for that. It describes it.
That's right. So with that, let's turn over to Isaiah 26, because I want to show you how it's very similar.
Hope you have your Bible and your pencil and your paper, like we said in the beginning of the show, because you'll really want to remember this stuff.
That's right, but also, what an advantage, they can go to my webpage by the end of the week and actually listen to it again.
There you go.
Yeah. We are so blessed to be able to do that.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. All right, in the beginning of Isaiah 26, we see it starts out with, in that day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right away, that should tell you that is the last 1,000th year period of history.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off in the darkness or the tribulation period, because that's why a day started in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a picture of this right here.
Right here.
That was why the evening was always first.
The evening's first.
Mm-hmm. Because spiritual darkness as well as, you know, the dark. So in that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. And then it says, open the gates. you see the gates are opened on the first day of the 7,000th year of time.
Mm.
And it almost has to be on a Rosh Hashanah because that's the anniversary of the creation of the world and Adam.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay, and God is precise. It says here, open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth. That's really the righteous today. I mean, we keep the truth because we read the Bible. It's not that we're sinless. It's not.
I want to make a guess here that in the Hebrew, it probably says, let the righteous goyim.
Oh, sure.
Enter. And those people that are born again, that support Israel and love the Jewish people and help them are the righteous. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we couldn't do that if we weren't saved.
That's right.
You know, I mean, we have an automatic love for Israel when you really know Jesus with your whole heart and soul. It just is a natural thing that happens. I can remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, the first thing I wanted to do was go to Israel, which I did.
More than once.
Yes. But okay, again, open the gates that the righteous people which keep the truth may enter in, and you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. That's us. Okay? Yay. But then it goes on, and I can't read it all, of course. It's a great chapter. It talks about the wicked, too. And then we go to even verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. This is talking about the dead that will not live forever.
Mm.
It's talking about the unrighteous dead in that area there. Okay? And then in 16 and 17, it sort of gives an idea of what God does, okay? Like in verse 16, it says, Lord, in trouble, they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. So in other words, like Hosea 5:15, in their affliction, they will seek me. This is what it's saying. Verse 17, as a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs when she draws near the time of her delivery. This is all tribulation lingo, okay?
Ooh.
And then in 18, it says, you know, I'm going to skip over to 19 because we're running out of time. Your dead shall live. Now, this is talking about the righteous. Together with my dead body. This is Isaiah speaking here. So he knew about a resurrection. They shall arise, awake, and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. This is resurrection phrases. But here's the best one. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. That chamber is Hadar. It's the wedding chamber. Shut your door behind you for how long? Until the wrath of God is past. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while until, your Bible might say indignation, same thing. That is the term for the tribulation period. He is going to take us up, hide us in his wedding chamber until the indignation is past. And then, you'll see in 21, for behold, the Lord then comes out of his place, that's the bridal chamber, to punish the inhabitants of the earth. He comes back to the earth to separate the sheep and the goats. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. And then again, it goes on to say, in that day, the Lord with a severe sword, with sword of his mouth, Revelation 19,
mm-hmm.
great and strong, will punish Leviathan, that's a name for the Antichrist or the devil, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay that terrible reptile that is in the sea. And where does the Antichrist come out of? In Revelation 13?
He comes out of the sea. See how this all is, this all it fits like pieces to a puzzle. Exactly.
It is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. And if you get a piece that doesn't fit, you've got to get rid of it. You can't keep holding on to that.
Yes.
And you get these people that say, no, we're going through the tribulation. It just doesn't fit. We cannot be here. That Hosea scripture in chapter 5, I think we mentioned that last
mm-hmm.
week, where it says there will be no brightness at all at the moment of that resurrection.
Yeah. You
see
you see how all these pieces fit and how they fit so well. And you also, many people try to make their own ideas on how the end times will play out without, and they take these pieces that don't fit
mm-hmm.
and try to put a square peg in a round hole.
It should be.
Yes.
You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
You've got to go with the facts.
That's right. Otherwise, you're pounding that little piece into that square into that round hole, and it's not going
to
work.
The Bible is like being a detective. You're constantly looking for clues because you want to know what the result is. you know, what the end is.
Exactly.
It's all about that.
And God conceals these things for those who love him to search them out. And
yeah.
he enjoys us doing that.
There's a scripture that says that. I can't remember where now.
I know, and you've said it a million times, have that in your...
No, well. But it's in there.
Okay.
It's a matter for us to search it out.
Yes.
We are kings and
yes.
priests.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to do.
And there's plenty of them in there. We call them gold nuggets. And these gold nuggets are becoming increasingly more important as we draw near to the time of Jesus' return. And the more we understand, and really, the more you can explain to your neighbor, to your children, to your parents, to your friends, the more that you can explain this. And they will, not that they will fall down on their knees and accept Jesus as their Savior at that time, but they will have something going on in their head that's very logical, and because you've presented it to them logically.
Right.
And that's going to work on them. God's word will work on
them. Oh, yeah. Tribulation saints.
Yes, tribulation saints. Well, let's see. We're getting drawing close to the end here. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your entire life, or maybe you're concerned that you might be one of those who only have a head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction, get on your knees right now. Repent, particularly of those sins which seem to be lingering in your life, and commit and recommit your body, soul, and spirit to Yeshua the Messiah.
Amen.
Amen? Okay, we're going to do the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha, Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Till next week, join us for our last show.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word.